Hello, my name is Professor Peter Taylor. I am Chair of Musculoskeletal Sciences at the University of Oxford and Head of Clinical Sciences at the Botnor Research Centre. Over the past decade, our management of inflammatory arthritis has evolved substantially. We now have targeted therapies that allow us to control inflammation in a significant proportion of patients. However, in routine clinical practice, we quickly recognize that achieving control of inflammation does not always equate to complete disease resolution from the patient's perspective. Patients do not experience disease in terms of swollen joint counts or C, reactive protein levels. They experience pain, they experience fatigue, they experience impaired mobility, reduced productivity, and limitations in social participation. And in many cases, even when inflammatory markers improve, these burdens persist. Today, I will discuss three important analyses evaluating tofacitinib in psoriatic arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, focusing beyond traditional endpoints and examining outcomes that truly matter to our patients. Let me begin with patient-reported outcomes in psoriatic arthritis. Drawing from the phase 3 OPAL-BEYOND study, OPAL-BEYOND was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial that enrolled adult patients with active psoriatic arthritis who had demonstrated inadequate response to at least one TNF inhibitor. As you know, this represents a particularly challenging patient population, individuals in whom prior biologic therapy has failed to provide sufficient disease control. Patients were randomized to receive tofacitinib 5 mg twice daily, 10 mg twice daily, or placebo, with all participants continuing a stable background conventional synthetic DMARD. Assessments were conducted at baseline in weeks 2 and 4 and months 3 and 6. What makes this analysis especially compelling is its comprehensive evaluation of patient-reported outcomes. These included patient global assessment, pain visual analog scale, patient global joint and skin assessment, SF-36 physical and mental component scores, FACIT fatigue, EQ-5D, EQ-VASE and ASQL. In other words, this study assessed not just inflammatory activity, but lived disease burden. One of the most striking findings was the rapid onset of benefit and the significant improvements in patient global assessment and pain scores were observed as early as a week 2. An early symptom improvement is clinically meaningful. When patients perceive benefit quickly, it reinforces adherence and confidence in therapy. By month 3, both doses of tofacitinib demonstrated significantly greater improvements compared with placebo in key domains, including pain, global disease perception, and joint and skin assessment. Quality of life outcomes were equally notable. The SF-36 physical component summary score improved significantly, with meaningful gains in physical functioning, bodily pain, vitality, and social functioning. These domains reflect the patient's ability to return to normal daily life, to work, to family activities, and to social engagement. Fatigue, often underestimated but profoundly disabling, improved to clinically meaningful levels as demonstrated by FACIT fatigue scores. Improvements were also observed in EQ-5D and ASQL measures, indicating broader enhancements in overall health status. Importantly, a higher proportion of patients achieved minimal, clinically important differences and normative values compared with placebo, and these improvements were sustained through month 6. The key message from OPAL-BEYOND is clear. Tofacitinib provides rapid, sustained, and clinically meaningful improvements in patient-reported outcomes in TNF inhibitor inadequate responders with psoriatic arthritis. Let us now turn to a concept that is increasingly relevant in clinical practice, residual pain. We have all encountered patients who meet criteria for low disease activity or even remission, yet continue to report persistent pain. This suggests that pain inflammatory arthritis is not purely inflammatory in origin. And central sensitization and non-inflammatory mechanisms may play a role. a pooled post-hoc analysis across 9 randomized and trials-controlled trauma and residual pain in both rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis. In this analysis, patients who achieved abrogated inflammation at month 3 defined as 0 swollen joints and CRP below 6 mg per liter were evaluated for ongoing pain using the patient's assessment of arthritis pain. Despite achieving inflammatory control, a subset of patients continued to experience clinically meaningful pain. However, both tofacitinib and adalimumab demonstrated lower median pain scores compared with placebo. In rheumatoid arthritis, there was strong evidence supporting reduced residual pain with tofacitinib versus placebo. Similar findings were observed with adalimumab. In psoriatic arthritis, residual pain reduction was also observed compared with placebo, although the magnitude was somewhat less pronounced than in rheumatoid arthritis. Importantly, higher proportions of patients receiving active treatment achieved at least a 50% reduction in pain. There was no significant difference between tofacitinib and adalimumab in terms of pain reduction. These findings suggest that tofacitinib may influence pain pathways beyond direct inflammatory suppression. For us as clinicians, this reinforces an essential principle: remission should not be defined solely by laboratory and joint counts. Pain must be considered an independent and meaningful treatment target. Finally, let us consider the impact of obesity, an increasingly prevalent comorbidity in psoriatic arthritis. Obesity is associated with higher disease burden, increased inflammatory activity, and in some settings, a reduced response to TNF inhibitors. The effect of BMI on response to JAK inhibition has been less well characterized. A pooled post-hoc analysis of OPAL Broaden and OPAL Beyond evaluated the influence of baseline BMI on the efficacy and safety of tofacitinib. Patients were stratified into 4 BMI categories, ranging from normal weight to severe obesity. Across all BMI categories, tofacitinib demonstrated greater efficacy than placebo. However, patients with BMI greater than or equal to 35 kilograms per square meter exhibited generally reduced response across treatments, not uniquely with tofacitinib, but across therapeutic classes. Higher BMI was associated with somewhat attenuated ACR20, ACR50, and ACR70 responses, as well as smaller improvements in HIQ-DI and quality of life measures such as SF-36 and FACIT fatigue. Nevertheless, multivariable analysis indicated that BMI was not a consistent predictor across all endpoints. From a safety perspective, the overall profile of tofacitinib was comparable across BMI categories. Mild elevations in liver enzymes were observed somewhat more frequently in patients with severe obesity receiving the 5 mg dose, but no consistent dose-dependent safety signal was identified. The overall message is balanced tofacitinib remains effective across BMI categories, yet higher BMI may attenuate treatment responses across therapies. This reinforces the importance of integrated disease management, including weight optimization strategies. When we consider the totality of these analyses, several important themes emerge. Tofacitinib provides rapid and sustained improvements in patient-reported outcomes in difficult-to-treat psoriatic arthritis. It reduces residual pain even among patients who achieve objective inflammatory control, and it maintains efficacy across diverse patient phenotypes, including those with elevated BMI. As we continue to refine treat-to-target strategies, we must ensure that our targets reflect what truly matters to patients: meaningful pain relief, restored function, reduced fatigue, and improved quality of life. Thank you for your attention.